Rainmaker FM.
This episode of Copyblogger FM is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform. I'll tell you a little bit more about this complete solution for digital marketing and sales later, but you can check it out and take a free spin for yourself at rainmaker.fm/platform. That's rainmaker.fm/platform. Hey there, it is so good to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone. I am the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital, and once in a while, I like to hang out with the folks who do the heavy lifting over on the Copyblogger blog. Before I jump in today, remember that you can always get the show notes for every one of the episodes, including links, including free extra good things, by going to copyblogger.fm, and there's also a complete show archive there. So I'm here today with Joanna Wiebe, who is the conversion expert extraordinaire, two-time speaker at our live event in Denver, creator of Copy Hackers, and co-founder of a really cool new thing that we're going to talk about today. So, Joanna, how's your day going?
It's going pretty well. Yeah, I love hearing about the interesting disasters and things that you talk about. It's always fun. It's going well. Thanks.
Yeah, it's always that's always kind of a bittersweet moment when you see something on the web and it's like, oh, I have to podcast that, and I just wish I wish that hadn't happened, but we have to talk about that.
Must talk. Yep.
So we are, I think, probably kind of mostly going to focus on the new tool that you guys have been developing for like a super long time now. Mm. Before we do, I'm just curious, what was it that led you to create this new thing? You know, what was it you saw going on with content creators that you said, there's something here that really could work better, and I think we could build a tool that would help?
Yeah, that's exactly the thing that brought it up too. It was being around so many content creators, and being an active content creator myself, all different kinds, but largely focused on, I mean, everything really starts out with writing. Even if you're putting a video together, you're scripting it. And in a lot of cases, content creators do not work in isolation. They send their work to other people. They have those people give them feedback and contribute ideas. So we'd been we do a lot of research for our posts at Copy Hackers in particular, and posts that I do on other sites and for the talks that I give and things like that, like most content creators do. And the struggle is moving that research into a place where you can actually create with it. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of sticky notes, a lot of trying to move things around manually. A sticky note is a good thing because you can physically move it around, but there's just not the same. There are other ways that you can like create notes or cards online, but then trying to move them into a state where you can actually write with them hasn't been a thing. Yeah. It hasn't been like, right, like a natural thing that anybody can do. So you use a couple of tools together, or you just do a lot of copying and pasting. So knowing that moving from research to writing was something that was slowing us down quite a bit, we started talking to some more writers to see if they were going through the same things. And then we worked with the folks at, the Rewired Group. They manage something, they run something called Jobs to be Done, which is this methodology where you interview people, essentially. You interview people who you know have this problem, and you listen for what's called a struggling moment. And so we did that with about, I think it ended up being just about 10 people, which is, they recommend 7. So 10 is a perfectly good number. We interviewed these writers and literary agents too, and editors, people from large blogging teams. And we tried to identify the struggling moment in the content creation process, because there are a lot of tools for finding an idea, like BuzzSumo. What should I write about today? There are a lot of tools for actually finding research, like even if you just use a deep dive account or something like that, or Google Scholar, or just go around and read and use Pocket or something like that to capture your notes, or Evernote to capture your notes. But nobody was having an easy time, just like what the same thing we were doing. Nobody was having an easy time getting that into the document. So that's where our idea for AirStory was born. How do we get those notes onto the document, moved around, and eventually merged into a document in a relatively seamless way that doesn't force a new writing process on people?
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. That word process, that you say process, you must be a word poster.
Is it process or process? I'm Canadian too, so it's even worse.
No, all as far as I've ever encountered, all Americans say process, but East Coast Canadians say process. That word, that interestingly pronounced word, it's something I think about more and more, because the more content I create, you know, I script podcasts, I write posts, I do, teaching content, I create a lot of stuff. I create a lot of content. Yeah. And the more I do, the more process I need. Mm-hmm. So maybe talk to me about, because it's interesting that you say, see, I would have thought, okay, AirStory like gives a framework, puts a framework in place so that the writer can create the content more efficiently. But it sounds like that's not quite it.
Well, our struggle there is that we want that. We want the ability to have a process in place that will help everybody write faster. But the one thing that consistently comes up in every single interview, and since then with beta testers for AirStory, is that clearly everybody writes differently. Yeah. Like everybody has their own unique process. And if you try to shift them out of that, they resist and they eventually fall back into the one that works best for them. But each of those processes has similar things happening in it. So there is going to be a research phase that doesn't stop, though. Like, it's not like this, oh, I'm done research, now I will move on to the next step. It keeps happening because writers are always writers. We're always thinking. Like, every moment there's an opportunity that we could write, have a new idea triggered. And so knowing that it's this fluid process, we couldn't enforce a simple one. But there is the research phase of it, which again isn't singular, isn't like isolated, but nonetheless, it is a real thing. Outlining is a real thing for most of us, even if that outlining doesn't look like a bullet list. It's still like a real thing that most of us do, and the actual writing phase, and then getting that writing out of your document and into its published or distributed or used form. So that might be exporting to your WordPress blog, or exporting to just a PDF or something else but you have to get it out as well. So we know that there are these pieces in place, and we know that everybody really has independent tools for each of those things. So if you're researching, you might have Evernote, and that Evernote might be unwieldy. It might be pretty intense for a lot of people. Outlining usually happens in a tool like Google Docs or Word, where you just do a lot of copying and pasting. And we've seen people have multiple documents open where they'll put a bunch of information or research in to, let's say, a Google Doc, and then they'll have another Google Doc tab open where they can pull out the stuff that they're not going to use in that piece once they start writing it, but they don't want to lose it. Right? So they want to put it in another document for use later, where it probably will get lost, frankly, because how do you search through to find the right information piece in what could become, again, a really big document of pasted, unused research. So all of those things, and there's all of these little pieces at work. They're not always 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as a process, but they are in the process. So that's why AirStory includes those things, but doesn't force you to first do research, then do outline, then do your writing, then invite people to collaborate with you, then go back and finish it off, then publish. It could happen in multiple different ways. So we do have a process that is pretty standard, but you can skip through the process if you're a power user, let's say, and you're really used to your own way of writing.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's talk about just like the rough sketch, the high-level view. The product is called AirStory. Just in the most broad terms, what does it do? And then we'll kind of get into the nitty-gritty in a couple of minutes.
It eliminates the blank white page is how I put it. That's like the terrifying thing for most of us when it comes time to actually write. And you open your Word doc or your Google doc or whatever you're using and you stare at the screen. And you might have an idea. You might have that initial burst of inspiration where you're like, oh, that's my headline or oh, that's my hook. And you write it out quickly and then maybe a little more flows out, but then you lean back, you take a look at it, and you think maybe you need a coffee now because you're going to get into writing mode here. So you do all of these things, but the reality is that you are facing this blank whiteness. What do you do about it? And it's all been on your shoulders. So ultimately, what you would do in AirStory, in the broad strokes, is look up your research that you've created and drag it out of that, what we call a card library, mm-hmm. and drop it onto your document, move it around on your document, and then either choose to merge the card or remove the card or do whatever it takes for you to feel good about where your document is at and add research or remove it as you need.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a break just for a minute or so. And when we come back, as promised, we will get into some of the specific ways that AirStory works to help make our lives easier and better and more fun and productive as content creators. This episode of Copyblogger FM is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform. So I have to tell you, I have owned a digital business in one form or another for a long time. And when I started out, I have to say, building a reasonably complex, functioning website was just hard. It was expensive, it took a lot longer than you wanted it to, and it didn't necessarily work exactly the way that you hoped it would work when you rolled it out. Now, those kinds of frustrations were exactly what led us to develop the Rainmaker platform. We wanted to make it simple enough that you could make a fast start, but also robust enough that you could add that more complex functionality that can really, really change things for a digital business. So I'm talking about elements like a membership community, multiple products, free and paid products, and email automation. We also threw in all of the things that tend to be a hassle to manage. So Rainmaker platform includes premium hosting, it includes all of your WordPress upgrades, and it includes some very, very serious security, as well as your business email. And all of that is wrapped up in your choice of dozens of great-looking, mobile-responsive design frameworks, which you can literally change anytime you like just by clicking a button. I have to say, right now, Rainmaker platform, which includes the premium hosting, includes all the features, the cool membership capability, the email automation, landing pages, podcasting tools, all the bells and whistles. Right now, Rainmaker platform is a lower monthly fee than I was paying just for email on my old personal site. And I don't need any kind of expensive consulting to get it set up. I can just get started. And that's not an uncommon scenario. It all works together, which means it works. And as your sophistication as a business owner grows, the features are there to grow right with you. You can get started at rainmaker.fm/platform. And right now you can get 14 days free to try it out and get a taste of how quickly you can get up and running with a truly powerful website for your business. You can get that rolling at rainmaker.fm/platform. Hey, welcome back. Good to see you again. So I am talking with Joanna about their very cool new project. This is a Copy Hackers project. Is that right?
It is. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah. It's called AirStory. I know it's been in development for a long time. I'm going to talk about that in a bit. We talked about research and cards. I'm curious. I have always recommended if I teach, because I always get that question all the time. Where do you get your ideas? How do I know what to write about? And one of the things I've always taught is you keep what I call, it's kind of like starting a flat of seedlings in a greenhouse. You keep a bunch of ideas somewhere. You can find them. Mm-hmm. And when you need to write, you kind of look over your little seedling flat and you see what kind of looks promising and you start developing it. It sounds like there's some of that rough structure, at least when we get started with Air Story. Does that sound right?
Definitely. Yeah. So that would be the kind of thing where you would, I would anticipate, although you could do it in maybe two different ways. You could either, every time you get an idea, you could start a new project in Air Story and then just like make your quick notes in there and go away until you're ready to come back. Or you could do the really easy thing, which is just creating a new card. Like if you have that idea, create that card and then tag it idea or seedling or whatever it is that makes that works for you. And then when it's time for you to write something, you have a deadline. Yeah, you'd go into that card library, search seedling, and all of your seedling ideas would come up. And then you could choose one and work with it.
Oh yeah. So we have these things called cards and they're kind of little segments. Yeah. Little kind of atomized pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause the way, you know, I find it interesting that when we search for something in Google, let's say we get in our results page, you get the full document or you get the little snippet at the top, and the snippet is always the most useful part, right? When I remember what it's called, the actual term for it, I should know, but I don't offhand. The little part of the top when you're like, oh, how do you convert metric to whatever? And then it tells you at the top very quickly, you don't have to go anywhere. Those are the most useful kinds. But most of the time we have to click through to search a larger piece of information, like a full blog post, to find that data point or that answer to a question or whatever it is we're looking for. But ultimately, most of us work in smaller pieces of information and we build those up into something bigger. And so that's the whole idea behind cards and moving them in and searching through smaller pieces of information for to find that idea that you're looking for, and not just yours, right? So the good thing again about like something like a Google is you're searching through the whole world. Something like Air Story, it's a team collaboration tool as well. So like that's the focus of it. It's better, it works better, and it's stronger when you invite people to it. Because when you do that, let's say it's your team and you have a team of, I think of like HubSpot. They've got a content team. They've got a bunch of people on it, but they're all working in different locations and they're all trying to come up with like these aggressive, like meet these aggressive publishing schedules for long and short content. They each have information that they've used in different blog posts and so on and so forth. If I keep my information to myself, then the person in New York who could use that to help write a blog post today, they don't get it, or they have to email me and say like, hey, do you know anything about X, or do you have any charts about Y? And so that's a manual process. This way, if they were all in Air Story together and importing their research as cards, then I could search like Ginny's information, her cards, and whatever interesting stuff she has that might work to help me write my post today. If I search through all of our team cards, I can pull in her research into my blog post and write a lot faster without having to do all that unique research always on my own.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's really interesting. And so how much overhead is it? Like, for example, if I use freelancers, we use freelancers sometimes at CopyBlogger. I think a lot of organizations do. How much overhead does it take in terms of just, you know, getting their account set up and getting them into the system so they can work in the system if they might not be there all the time?
Yeah. So you can invite somebody to a single project, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm writing a post called 6 Ways to Write a Headline, but I want somebody to come in with their, I don't know, some unique take on it. So I know it's going to be that I invite my freelancer in to work with me on this or to fill it with images or whatever it is that I've invited that person to do. Yeah. I can invite them directly to that project. Yeah. Just to that project. And that's it. They can just be in there. If they're going to be somebody on my team who will benefit from sharing their research slash cards with me and who will get benefit from borrowing mine as well, then I would invite them to the account as just a team member. So they would work on projects on, and that'd be the case for like more than one project, somebody who's going to work with me relatively regularly and write from scratch and things like that. But yeah, you can invite, just like Google Docs, you can invite somebody to look, to come into your project and leave comments and things like that, just on a project level.
I hadn't even thought about images, because yeah, we have a whole team and we have a fairly complex process for getting, you know, for post images, you know.
Yeah.
So we've got the headline of the post, and then we've got some themes or ideas for headlines, and we've got image choices, and we've got formatting, and there's a fair number of people who kind of end up touching that.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, we've seen like a lot of people think that they worked on a blog post with like just by themselves with one person reviewing it. But when it comes down to it and you see the actual, like the number of people involved in getting a blog post out for most teams, maybe not for independent bloggers, but for most teams, it's yeah, 4, 5, 6, 7. It really adds up there. And the more reviewers you have, of course, the bigger that team gets. So it's great to have a single space where you can go. And then as soon as you're done and that person places those images, you can export to WordPress and publish it right there.
Now, it sounds like we probably covered this, but this is not only something for creating text content. I mean, you can use it to develop other forms. I'm thinking specifically of podcast, video scripts, outlines, things like that.
Yeah, it is. It's a document because I'm a writer and I love writers and we live in the world of writers. But they're like Anne Hanley, right? Everybody writes. So there's always this. There's so many people who need this, like product marketers and things like that. But yeah, it's there to help people who work in words to get those words on the page faster and to be able to get them to the point of publishing faster. And I know we talk about fast a lot because that's like the number one like outcome here is, yeah, you're gonna move through this a lot faster than you were able to before because you're getting way more efficient with the way you put a post or a podcast or a script together. But it's not just about fast either. You're also, because you have access to, like if you're going to write up, if you're going to script this podcast, let's say, and it's somebody you don't know, maybe somebody else on your team, like Brian said, hey, why don't you talk to this person in your next podcast? You don't really know that much about that person, but Brian did or does, and he put cards together over time that are like tagged with that person's name. Then you can look that up and of course find it. So it's not just faster, it's also better, right? You'll create content that's better than it would have been if you didn't have access to this stuff. So, but the process is really the same. Yeah, you can outline any of those pieces, move the cards around on your outline, and then just magically click a button and it turns into your document, which is really nice and easy. I think it matches the way most of us work when we are already scripting things like a video or a podcast.
Yeah, because I think sometimes people gloss over the role of like a really good writing process when you're creating a podcast,
yes,
or a video script, you know, especially I think when we do client work where the person is like, oh, I like to wing it with the podcast. It's like, yeah, that's why they're bad. So let's make those better.
Exactly. It's true.
Cool. And then it sounds like another thing, I mean, I came out of a more traditional corporate marketing team and the good old approval cycle, also known as send it to legal for review. yes. So it sounds like, you know, it would be useful for that because that process can be super, super onerous, especially if you've got to do a couple of cycles.
Yes, exactly. So I also come from that background at Intuit. We had like classically, we had at the end of a document name, final 22. We're like, no, no, no. It was supposed to be final and we've since gone over it 22 more times. So yeah, it's a disaster. So understanding that, we do actually have these settings, which is something that I haven't seen in any other like Word or Google Docs. And I haven't, admittedly, I'm no longer a power user of Word because I use a Mac and Word on Mac is a disaster.
You're not a masochist? Yeah, no, I get it.
Exactly. So maybe they've come up with statuses. I don't know. But ours, I'm like super, it's one of those little details that I get like kind of excited about, because you can set, you invite collaborators and that's cool. But what if you don't want the collaborators to work on your document anymore? They can look at it. And you don't want to remove them from the project because they'll just email you and say, hey, why can't I get into this project? So you don't want to remove them, but you don't want them editing anymore because you've called this final or because legal is looking at it. Yeah. And so you set a status in there where that status is like under review or private if you just want it to be for you at this moment, or final. So you've got these, and there's a couple other statuses in there, but you can use those statuses to tell people that they can or cannot work on the document or that it's published. So stop talking to me about it. Like it's already done. Things like that, which is cool, right? Which is these little things that writers need, that other tools that aren't built for writers, just they're not thinking about it. And so I love the status setting for sure.
Yeah.
Legal reviews.
Those. Don't you miss them? They were so good. Yeah. That and I worked for a couple of kind of colorful CEOs who always had lots of creative insights to share with us. That was good too.
Sure. People who've never written a thing before have so much to say.
They're so creative. It's wonderful. So something I noticed when we were just, you know, kind of discussing Air Story and where you guys were with it, you've had this really robust beta kind of cycle. So do I have this right? Has it been 2 years that you guys have been working on this tool?
Just coming up on 2 years. Amazing. Stunning. So wrong. But it's good. I mean, it's problematic because the rule is like, just ship it.
Right.
But that's, I think, some of those things, those rules have failed me a bit in the past. So like, I love the idea of Lean Startup, and I know that people who do it right get it right. But there's so much when you're going to put your product out there, and especially given that Air Story is for writers, especially for writers in particular who publish on blogs. So if I ask you to use Air Story in its early stages and you don't like it, it doesn't work for you because it's not thinking the way it ought to yet, then what if you write that blog post that's like, oh, don't bother trying that, or I tried Air Story, but I found Scrivener was better, or something like that. It's not like we're sending this out to a world of people who are quiet and will keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
So I didn't want it to be this thing where, and there's also just wanting to get it to a point where it's really right and not just a bunch of assumptions, but where we're able to say, okay, we listened to how writers write, but we know everybody is different. So we put this together. Now here, beta users, tell us what you think and show us what you think. And so we were able to see things over the course of the last 2 years and make changes to our team as well to make sure that we're all aligned with creating something that's actually going to help writers,
right.
Period.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you have to, again, you don't have to be a novelist to use it at all. It's not really even made for novelists, but people who write for a living. So we had to make changes to the team. We changed the UI a couple times to make it feel friendlier, to get to this point where it doesn't feel, but still stays out of your way. Like there are little subtleties here that, you know, a writer who's used to writing in a certain environment, if they go into a new environment and it feels off, that alone can turn them off. And I don't expect that Air Story will please everybody, but I know that it should wow a good number of people. And so we just wanted to get it there, and waiting patiently and working hard on it, I think, has got us there.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. What I'm curious, is there like one really interesting thing that came out of beta that maybe you wouldn't have predicted, or just kind of was like, huh, okay, that's very interesting.
People aren't as dazzled as I am by the moment at which once you've dragged your cards into the outline, and then you click a little button up at the top to switch from outline view to document. So ta-da, suddenly you have a document, like you're 80% done and you just have to go over it and write over it now and like clean it up. they're not as dazzled as I thought they would be. I love it. People we have found are way more interested in the outliner side of it, like just the functionality of dragging your cards around and moving really swiftly. Like one of our beta users used it to put a course outline together. And she was like, okay, so I did all my research. I put my notes together and then I just dragged it into an outline and it was like done in like 2 hours. And I have a script that's ready to go. So she was really impressed. And a lot of others are, it's just one example, a lot of others are really impressed with just the outlining, which I wouldn't have thought is a thing that really matters. But I think that a lot of outliner, there's just not that many outliner solutions out there. So yeah, that was surprising for me that the outlining dazzles people, I think, far more than what I have considered to be a pretty magical experience of converting an outline instantly into a document. And it just like where you used to have outlines on your cards in the outline, like there's a border around your card in the outline, but when you move over and now that border's gone, like it's really cool to look at, but nobody else cares as much as I do. So there's that.
Always the way. You mentioned Scrivener. I'm just curious, like, what do you see as the big experience difference there? I played around with Scrivener. I don't love Scrivener, but it's got its uses for what it does, for what it's, you know, kind of meant to do. Where do you see kind of the big points of differentiation?
I look at something like Scrivener and like you, I haven't given it a chance, but I think like you and like a lot of people, we don't have time to give something much of a chance, right? It feels so different from how and where I work today. And so knowing that productivity for me, being productive when I'm writing is major. And I think Scrivener, maybe it's made more for novelists or people who are willing to spend their Saturday figuring out how to move stuff around in Scrivener. But this is, Air Story is meant for people who on Monday morning have to get some work done. It's a big difference, right? Air Story looks a lot like the document just looks like a document. It looks like something you'd see in Word or in Google Docs. The outline has bullets on it. So you just drag, drop things into bullets, right? It's not trying to look different. The cards don't look like post-it notes and there's nothing that looks like a cork board. It just looks like a space where you can work. And that's, I think, what one of the biggest differences is. But I haven't spent much time in Scrivener because it's hard to learn and I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I think in my experience, which like yours is kind of limited, it's a good tool if you're writing a book.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Great tool if you're writing a book.
If you're writing a book, it is, you know, it has a lot to recommend it. But I know people who do blog posts in Scrivener and I'm always kind of like, wow, okay. That's cool.
Interesting.
Man, I think that, you know, you get used to anything, right? But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, this is like lots of fun. I'm looking and noting with amazement that we've covered a half hour. So this is cool. Where, I know you guys are coming up on your launch date. So like when and where can people, if they're thinking this sounds like fun, I want to try it out. What's involved?
Well, we are coming out of private beta on Halloween. Yay. So that'll be exciting. Still, even though we're out of private beta, we still want to be sure that the people that are coming in get a killer experience. So it's not like we're just opening the doors. We are offering invitation codes. So if you get an invitation code, then you'll get access to Air Story. And that's just going to be for the first few months so that we can continue to like monitor how people are using it, set up, you know, quick interviews with new users and just see how they're responding to it, which is harder to do if you just say, hey, anybody, come on in. Right. That's tougher. So we'll have invitation codes for the first couple months. But if you go to airstory.co, then you can sign up to get that invitation code and start using it as soon as this Halloween.
Very, very cool. A lot of fun. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
This has been.
Thank you.
It's always fun to talk with you because you have such a You've done a lot of things. You have a lot of experience, but you still always seem like you're excited about this stuff, which is contagious, which I really enjoy.
That's awesome. Well, thank you. It's great talking to you too. I love it.
Good stuff. All right. So the project is called Air Story. You can find out more about it at airstory.co. And Joanna, thank you so much. It's just been a pleasure.
Thank you.